Right, well, Tiny the Turbine, I was asked to write that actually from some people from Australia, interestingly enough, after I'd written a book called Subsidy Sam, or not a book really, but a story, which I wrote in a bit of a rage after realising that wind developers were going into schools and talking to the children. But Subsidy Sam was actually quite a dark story, a bit satirical, not suitable for children. I was asked if I'd do a children's book, and that's how Tiny the Turbine came about.
Okay, so what is the basic story, the premise of Tiny the Turbine?
Tiny the Turbine is to show children that there are negative impacts. We're having multinationals going into the schools and talking to them and telling them basically if we don't have more wind farms, the polar bears and the penguins are going to die, and nothing is further from the truth. And they need to know the negative impacts, you know, how wind farms actually impact on the environment, how they impact on communities and how they can cause health impacts, kill birds. They need to know the whole story so they can form their own opinions and not just what the wind industry tells them they should be forming.
Wind turbines and the wind industry is a big issue in some parts of Australia, particularly our part of the country. What's it like in Scotland where you're based?
Well, it's appalling. We have the Scottish Government who's driving through as many wind turbines as they possibly can, even though the UK Government as a whole is now stopping the subsidies. The Scottish Government is still trying to pressurise them to keep the subsidies so they can keep the wind developers coming.
So there is a proactive approach on the part of government, effectively.
Absolutely, and but they do know that the governing politicians and the Greens do know more than parrot what the wind industry propaganda and figures. As do most environmental groups, I put those in commas, most of them who take funding from energy companies anyway. So the politicians here, the supporting politicians anyway, seem to be incapable or too arrogant to spend a short time researching the negative impacts of wind. You can, you know, call the intelligence of some of them really into question when you listen to them just literally spouting the windy spin on behalf of the industry.
For a lot of travellers, Loch Ness and Inverness is one of those icon destinations. What's happening and what's proposed with the wind industry around your patch in the UK, in Scotland?
Well, it's absolutely heartbreaking because people don't realise if you have wind turbines, you're going to get grid connections. So where we haven't got wind farms, we have massive pylon lines being built through our hills, through our glens. It's just industrial hardware is being speared into Scotland. Some of the substations are so enormous from these wind farms that you would have to go up in the air to get a full view of them. And we have people who can't sleep at night, who live next door to them. There's no noise control. There's no noise monitoring of wind farms or substations that is compulsory, basically. You have to complain for years before anybody will listen to you.
How many turbines around the lock are proposed?
Over 500.
How close?
Well, they'll be up in the hills, so, you know, you might be sat in one part of the loch, you might not see them, you don't have to go very far because people don't come just to one spot in Scotland, they like to tour around. They'll see within a 35-mile radius, I think we counted just over 500, but because they're really high up, they're so visible for so many miles. If you go even further north to the likes of Caithness, beautiful part of the country, absolutely trashed by turbines, hence the name Trasher in my book.
The foreword in the book is written by Sarah Laurie of the Warborough Foundation, quite prominent in the debate in Australia from time to time. Do you, from what you know, are there similarities between the situation here and in the UK?
I would say yes, but I would say it's global. There's over 2,200 anti-wind groups that we know of globally. You know, it's Canada, it's America. Somebody's even approached me to put the book into French. Tiny the Turbine. Everywhere there's subsidised wind, it tells the right story and people are warming to it and they want the children to read it.
How far and wide, you say you've been asked to translate it into French, but how far and wide has it spread at this stage?
Well, we only launched it, was about 10 days ago. As far as I know, it's in it's right across Europe and Canada, obviously Australia and America. Yeah, it's just, and I'm getting contacts all the time from people who's just saying, you know, thank goodness, this is a tonic. That you've actually said this and we want children to read this. So they're not having this propaganda thrust down their throats by the wind industry. These multinationals should not be in our schools. Many years ago, I remember we had the fast food guys and the fizzy drinks guys coming in and talking to the kids and sponsoring the sports equipment, and we now have an obesity epidemic. I would liken it to the same sort of thing. They're there for profit. They want to keep them flowing from the next generation and they want to keep their shareholders happy. This isn't about saving any planet, I have to tell you. It's about keeping the money coming.
How did you get involved in all of this?
I was at a party and I told somebody that I was thinking about having solar panels on my roof because they were a good investment, and a friend said to me, you're no better than a wind developer. She was a bit drunk, but I went away and researched it, and actually she was right. It was subsidised solar panels. The money was coming out of people's energy bills, whether they lived in a flat, didn't own their own roof or anything. They were subsidising people who could afford solar panels or wind turbines to have them on their land.
So is it fair to say then your primary concern about the industry is the way it's supported by government, the financial aspect rather than some of the other aspects, or has your interest become broader than that?
Well, it's broader, really, because I don't know where you could start with it. It's so bad. I hate bullies, for a start, and I feel communities are being bullied. They're being forced into taking something that a lot of them are unwilling to take, and the governments are supporting the multinationals above their own people's happiness and health, really. Now, if wind turbines gave us energy security or did anything to reduce CO2 emissions, I'm sure there's many of us who would think, well, actually, maybe we've got to put up with this. There is no hard evidence they will reduce any CO2 emissions at all, and they certainly don't give us energy security. We could cover the whole planet in wind turbines, and we would still not have energy security.
I don't know if you're aware of the book The Lorax. It's one of those generational things. I'm not sure if it got to Scotland or to parts of the UK. Are you aware of that book?
No, I'm not.
It's a Dr. Seuss book, and it's a story about environmental damage effectively by people chopping down trees. The reason I raise that, it's a children's book being from Dr. Seuss, is that the other side, the forest industries, felt the need to answer back with a children's book of their own. You've released Tiny the Turbine. Would you expect any sort of answering back of this from the wind industry as such?
Well, I've answered the wind industry because they've already done it. They've got Tommy the Turbine in Ireland, a lovely fluffy tale about turbine that travels around Ireland and is going to save the world. And we've got a Timmy the Turbine in Scotland who goes around to festivals dressed up in a ridiculous outfit to encourage children to support wind energy. We've already got the books. Yeah. I'm responding.
Right, okay, so it's already at that stage
for you
in the UK.
Yeah.
What's been the response from children?
The ones we've shown, they've really liked it. And the parents that we've shown it to as well, that's, you know, before it went, I showed it to quite a few people and they thought it was good. It was easy to understand. The illustrations are fantastic. I can't thank Josh enough. He's done a brilliant job for me. It's been very well received. And it's, you know, it's not a nasty book. You know, kids can relate to what's happening in a, I think, quite a positive way, because it's shown that you can stand up to these bullies.
Now, I've only seen an online version, a PDF version of this. Is there a hardcover?
I think there will be. We're talking to publishers now. So, yes, I mean, we just did it really. We did it on the hoof. We did it with no money, and we did it as a PDF for people to download for free. But there seems to be an interest that people actually want a hard copy, a little book that they can take maybe into their local school and say, if you're going to let the wind developers into these schools, we want the kids to know the other side.